Steve, thank you. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, joined in studio right now by Kristen McQuarrie,
the
columnist,
ever smiling,
the always jovial Kristen McQuarrie, always in a good mood. Kristen, last night a lot went on politically, and Wendy and I were saying at the very beginning of the show, this is the farthest a woman has gone in terms of being the candidate or presumptive candidate for one of the two major parties. And yet, because of everything else that's gone on, it's kind of been overshadowed a little bit. Don't you agree?
I guess it has. I found myself a little surprised that all the coverage was focused on that last night. And then, of course, you have to like do this correction in your mind. Well, of course, you know, she is now officially, they have different ways that you can describe someone as the presumptive nominee. But because she won California, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota, she now hit that number that she needs of delegates. So she is the presumptive nominee. And so we got all the historic moment commentary last night. First woman. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's somebody we already know. I wanted it to be a fresh woman. You know what I mean?
I think
I feel bad saying that, and I'm not saying I'm not voting for her, but I do feel like give us something new. It would have been more monumental, in my opinion, had it been a name that wasn't a president before.
That's true. And she has, you know, she was a U.S. senator. She was Secretary of State. So Mary Schmeek actually has a pretty nice column in today's Tribune that talks about that and how it's just not getting the sort of attention that it did when maybe Barack Obama cinched it in 2008. Although I went back and looked at the coverage the night that he cinched the nomination on June 4th in 2008. And yes, there was, of course, lots of coverage that this was the first African-American nominee. But I almost felt like last night's coverage was heavier.
Did you really?
Obviously leaked out by Clinton's campaign. I'm sure they had this ready. Everybody had the facts, the dates, the reasons that this was meaningful. And so that's what her campaign floated out, and that's what everybody went with last night.
If you're Bernie Sanders and you figure out...
I'm still going.
It seems pretty evident at this point. So
is it a pretty much for sure a done deal?
Can we honestly say that? Get off the stage. I mean, he did a marvelous thing. He brought a lot of people into the party who probably were just as disenfranchised as some of the Trump supporters on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
He created a movement. It was monumental, but it is midnight. Cinderella, get off the stage. I mean, really, he is pushing ahead. I think saying he's going to stay with it until the convention.
Right.
You know, she hit the number. If you saw her rally last night, you might have even thought it was a Donald Trump rally. I mean, she filled Navy Yard, was it, in Brooklyn. The people are moving toward her. She is the nominee. And he just is starting to look really desperate, in my opinion.
So there's a sit down tomorrow between President Obama and Bernie Sanders. What do you anticipate goes on at the sit-down?
I mean, I'm sure they're going to try to nudge him out and try to get him to be 100% in her camp and to bring, you know, his people over. I mean, I just don't even know how big of a story that is. Bernie Sanders supporters are never going to vote for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They will eventually come around. The worst
you
thing
think
they,
so?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think so.
I do. The worst thing they could do is stay home, and that's what I think she's worried about is just them staying home. But there's just no... There's no path for a Bernie Sanders supporter to turn around and vote for Trump. I mean, the only thing they have in common is that they both sort of had this outsider mentality. We want to shake up Washington,
mm-hmm.
but ideologically completely different. Pro-immigration, pro-open border compared to Donald Trump. I want to build a wall. Big government, more healthcare spending, free college tuition on the Bernie Sanders side. You know, if Trump proves to be a true Republican, smaller government. You know, getting a hold of our debt on the other side. There's just no path for those two to walk together.
Right. Well, what if, here's a hypothetical for you. What if President Obama sits down with him and says, look, it's very important for everybody involved that you come on board and you endorse her. And he goes, yeah, I don't see it that way. What happens then?
He may not, though, right?
He may not. I mean, he has this feeling that he wants to show up in these states where people have supported him and knocked on doors for him, and he wants them be able to vote for him. I will note that in 2008, same thing happened. Obama clinched the nomination, and Hillary Clinton took maybe 3 or 4 days mm-hmm. before she officially stepped out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he will do that. I hope he doesn't take this all the way to the convention. What a waste. And really, he's just, his time is up. It's time for him to go and for to acknowledge that she is the nominee. He has no chance mathematically or otherwise.
Right.
So, you know, even Hillary Clinton called Obama in 2008, the night that he cinched, and they had a nice conversation and they were still friendly. And they need to do that in this race.
Here's my fear. Something that you said, that if you're talking about issues, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, completely different issues, and Hillary as well. But when you get somebody and you're all in camp for Bernie Sanders and he's not in the mix anymore, I just have this feeling, issues aside, people are going to say, I hate Hillary, I'm going Trump. So all of a sudden, the issues don't matter anymore. That's what scares me. You're like, what? There's no path for a Bernie Sanders follower to then vote for Trump. But if they hate Hillary so much, they might.
I really don't see it. Maybe a few, but Donald Trump is repulsive to this group of voters.
Yeah, I guess.
And Hillary Clinton, no, she's the establishment. They don't want her. She will have to court them a little bit, like any relationship. But there's, I just don't see that big of a crossover.
But this is the core of what politics is and should be, Kristen, is which of the candidates do I hate and which one am I repulsed by? That's the way it should be.
Right. I mean, truly, do we ever really go to the ballot box skipping and happy and you're so excited to... No, you're most of the time, by the time a campaign has wrapped up, all the dirty laundry has been aired, you kind of hold your nose and vote for the least worst.
Right.
And so I don't expect that this is going to be any different.
We're getting some calls. We're at 312-981-7200. It is Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune. Let's go to the calls. We'll start out with Nina. Nina, hi. You're on with us and with Kristen McQuarrie. What was your question or comment?
Hi. Yeah, I question whether if he thinks he has the support, Bernie Sanders will run as an independent.
Isn't it too late for that, or can he do that?
I mean, there's still talk of a third party on the Republican side. I just don't see how it's possible. You have to actually gather signatures, get on the ballot, collect votes. It would be very hard to do that this late in the game for a national. I mean, maybe, but they'd have to, again, every state has different rules about yeah. third party candidates. In our state, you have to collect a huge amount of signatures. You know, these rules are designed to protect the two main parties. So I don't think it's possible.
What if that did happen? And Nina, that's a great question. What if it did happen and Bernie was able to run as an independent? What are his chances of winning? Still not very good, are
no,
they?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we do tend to be just a more, if you look at rough totals, there are more Democrats in this country than Republican voters on Election Day in November. So you have to be able to pull some of those Democratic voters to your side in order to win. And I think people are feeling the fizzling out and the loss of momentum with Bernie Sanders. And I think Hillary Clinton, if we want to place bets, I mean, I actually think probably she's going to be president. I don't see how Donald Trump can pull that independent middle of the road voter that I'm referring to.
Thanks for your call, Nina.
And Donald Trump, very smart strategically here, has on several occasions kind of goaded Bernie Sanders into being that third party candidate because he realizes, or the people behind him realize, that splits the Democratic vote very nicely and leaves him a better path. So he has on occasion said, yeah, if I'm Bernie Sanders, I run as a third party. Go do it, Bernie.
Go do it.
Right.
He tried last night, Trump. I don't know if you watched, but he gave his speech. He's been chastened by all of this rightly criticism of what he said about the judge, you know, the federal judge unable to be fair in his case because he's Mexican American.
Right.
I mean, just like absurd. So Donald Trump gave a speech.
He was misconstrued. Come on, will you be nicer?
he gave his victory speech from his golf club in Los Angeles. And I was looking it up. I thought his golf club, maybe he's part of a golf club. No, it's Trump Golf Course in Los Angeles. It was a small little room of a bunch of rich white guys that he was at. And he used teleprompters this time because
he keeps criticizing him for that.
You got to keep him on a teleprompter. He did better. But you know, he has to be more careful. And, yeah. and we keep saying that, and he keeps screwing it up. So yeah. we'll see what happens.
Jack wants to talk to you, and that's what we do on this very radio station. We all have an opinion. But, Jack, now you think maybe Kristen McQuarrie might be wrong in this. Go ahead.
Well, I'm a Republican who would never vote for Trump, and I have been, there's been some stuff written. I'm in my car. I wish I could put my hands on it because I know you get these people who call in and say, I read this, and you know they just have to be full of whatever. But there's been stuff written that shows that 10 to 11% of Bernie Sanders people will vote for Trump. And I think it gets back to what you were saying earlier. There's just some people very disturbed, and they really don't follow issues. They just don't want the established candidates. They don't want to vote for the old guard. And the issues make no difference. They're just going to vote for different.
That's what scares me.
It's very scary to me, too.
Well, the 10 to 11%, although a significant number, it just seems natural. If your guy is out of the race, you're gonna vote for somebody if you're going to vote at all. So, yeah, 10 or 11% going one way and 10 or 11% the other way, I get that. That's not a clinching number, is it, Kristen? That's not a number that's going to make a huge difference, is it?
I mean, in a close race, it could. But
let's say, and I have no reason to doubt, let's say that's absolutely true. 11% automatically, Bernie Sanders is out, they go Trump's way. You'd think at least 11% would go Hillary Clinton's way, wouldn't you?
Oh, of course. I think the rest. Yeah. I mean, I think all the other Democratic voters. And she's coming out of her shell a little bit more.
Steve Bertrand pointed that out, and I've been very guilty of when Hillary talks and she gets excited or she's defending herself, she comes across scolding. It's mm-hmm. just this voice, which I know I sound like too to my kids and husband. I realize that. But Steve pointed out that last night it was a softer side of Hillary. Jack, thank you for calling, by the way.
It's just a style.
Good show.
Thanks.
You know, she just let the microphone work, which I think she needs to do.
Right. And she also, I mean, when she first got into the race officially, even conservative columnists were talking about the value and the worth of being the first. And we just got a glimpse of that last night. But I think that's going to pull a lot of those Bernie Sanders supporters over, too. The more she emphasizes this historic moment, being a woman. And Donald Trump, I think he keeps going after her for... you know, he's not going after her for the right reasons. He should be tagging her for being an insider yeah. in Washington. And she's also a multi-millionaire. Those are two areas where I think he could dig away at her support. Instead, he keeps sticking to like the email scandal.
How would Trump succeed at that, though?
If he's a multi-billionaire, how can he say, hey, here's the trouble with you, Hillary Clinton, is you're a millionaire and you have a lot of money. It's watered down by the fact that he has even more money,
right?
Isn't it?
But he's open about it, and she's more hypocritical about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you'd never know that about her.
She tries to be that she's part of the middle class, and she represents your values. And she was already criticized, which I don't agree with this, but last night she was wearing an Armani jacket that was $13,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just takes away something like a chip that she might be able to play against Donald Trump. She's also a multi-millionaire, and she's that way because we are a free market capitalist country.
Hasn't every president in our lifetime been a multimillionaire?
I'm sure Jimmy Carter was not.
I don't think Bill,
he was a farmer and a governor.
And Bill Clinton wasn't, right, when he was elected.
Correct.
Wasn't he? No.
But once they leave.
He was a millionaire with the ladies, though.
He was.
We got to take... Oh, wow, that was weird. 312-981-7200. Craig and David, hang on. We will continue talking with Kristen McQuarrie. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and Kristen McQuarrie is our guest. Fine columnist for the Chicago Tribune. We're talking about not just last night and what happened politically, but what's going to happen in the future. If you want to check in, 312-981-7200 is your best move.
And David's been on hold. Hey, David, what did you want to say?
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thanks.
Good. I'm wondering Kristen's thoughts on the fact that Bernie might be hanging around because he may believe that Hillary is going to get indicted with her email scandal.
I mean, a lot of people are suggesting that I think he could probably suspend his campaign and then still get back in it if that were to happen. But it's June. And she admitted in an interview recently, she still has not been interviewed. Now, I know some people think that means that the case is in fact legit and moving forward. But I don't think he can continue to run his campaign and kind of damage his own credibility as a candidate waiting for something that, you know, might not happen and probably won't.
Okay.
Thank you, David.
Appreciate it. Yep.
There are people that totally think it's happening, and they say, you know, what are you gonna do when she gets indicted? I don't know. I mean, is there a great chance of that?
When you look at past cases, General Petraeus did, you know, get charged with a crime because he was emailing his lover on a different server, and you know, breach of national security is a big, big deal. I think the problem with her is that there's no smoking gun that we know of. There's no malicious intent. She is correct when she says other officials also used private email. And she has modified her statement enough now where she says, you know, she never sent or received items that were marked classified. So until, and we've seen a release of, a you know, 55,000, 65,000 of her emails at this point.
People suggest she edited out the ones that they were looking for.
Well, I mean, I have a lot of faith in the FBI director who came to the job. He's very nonpartisan. If there's something there, he will bring it forward. But I don't get the sense that she's nervous about it at all. I mean, she's talking about it openly. She's answering questions about it. She hasn't even been interviewed yet. And you still have the FBI director essentially still answers to the attorney general. And the attorney general is an Obama appointee who might be more sympathetic to her and could probably, you know, downplay or quash any sort of indictment war to come. Some people disagree with that, but we'll see.
I was on Politico's website yesterday, and a name came up as a possible vice presidential candidate for Hillary Clinton that I find very, very intriguing. I had never thought of this name before, but it's interesting to me. Al Franken.
Oh, what? Gosh. God, I hope not.
If you go to Politico.com, they make a very interesting argument for Al Franken being the vice presidential candidate.
What has happened to this country that we called home?
It's not... That's not the
deep
worst
thoughts.
No, that's Jack Handy.
I love Jack Handy.
Why isn't he a vice presidential candidate?
He should be.
So is that an impossible play to have Al Franken as the vice presidential candidate?
I don't. You start with such a credibility gap. I mean, I know he is now taken seriously, but there is still a large swath of the country that still thinks of him as, you know, a comedian.
And go back to Ronald Reagan when... I mean, I know he was a politician for a long time, but there were plenty of people when he announced that he was running for the president, they go, wait a minute, that's an actor from B-Westerns. That's not a president. And right. Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was such a joke too, I just read something yesterday or the day before where they were talking about leading Republicans who don't like Donald Trump, and Schwarzenegger's name was third or fourth on the list, considered a leading Republican, when a couple of years ago they're like, wait, the Terminator can't be the governor of California.
Yeah.
So even though you go, wait a minute, Al Franken is just a comedy writer, a comedian.
That's some, worse than a Western precedent. And a tough guy.
There's
Maybe.
Just no time to polish him up before November. Yeah. You know, and he had a talk show, so I can't even imagine what kinds of things he was saying that they could use against him. I think he's just too dangerous, and he doesn't come from the right part of the country anyway. If you believe in all of the geographic, you know, she needs somebody from Ohio, Colorado, California, one of these larger states.
Is Elizabeth Warren the one you expect will get the nod on this?
No.
You don't think
not
so?
At I don't all. Either. No,
you don't either?
No.
She's not going to pick another woman.
I actually don't think she would pick another woman, and I think she's going to look for someone who is racially diverse. There's a lot of talk of the former Austin mayor, who's now the head of HUD, whose name is escaping me, but he's Hispanic and has known for kind of transforming his city. You really just want someone as your sidekick. You don't want anyone who could possibly overshadow you, and that's what Elizabeth Warren would be to
Interesting.
Hillary.
Interesting. All right.
Julian Castro?
Right. Yes. Julian Castro is probably on the short list, and I think he would be a good
pick. So the same country that made fun of Obama for 8 years for having an interesting middle name, Hussein, would be okay with somebody named Castro being the vice president.
Oh, I'm sure he'll go through the ringer.
Yeah.
He will be put through the ringer.
More
for
material
sure.
for Trump.
Yep, exactly.
All right, we promised Craig to get him on. We have such a quick amount of time here, Craig, so get to your thought here.
I just think that Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump are, I think Hillary, if she's going to do anything or be effective, she's got to get away from that establishment. I think everybody's just tired of the same old, same old, and I think that's what they're going to get with Hillary. I mean, I'm not a Bernie Sanders fan. I'm not particularly a Donald Trump fan, but they're different. They're bringing something different to the table. I mean, it's not like they're going to get in there and just change everything. They can't do that. I mean, there's a Congress that will hold them, you know, responsible. And if there's issues, then they'll get them out of there. And they did it with Nixon. So So I just don't, you know, that's, I'm not a Hillary Clinton fan just because of, yeah, the FBI stuff and all that. But she's just part of the establishment. Just more of the same old, same old. I think people are just tired of it. I think that's why Bernie did well. I think that's why Trump has done well.
And that's why you believe Bernie shouldn't concede at this point or suspend his campaign.
Obviously, by the numbers, he can't. But yeah, if there's some legal issues that come up, yeah, then definitely he should have the opportunity to get back into it because he is the only other one running. But you know, I think Hillary, if she needs to between now and November, I think she really needs to get off that establishment stuff because even the way she talks, it's all establishment talk. Well, we're going to do this and we're going to bring this together. Nobody does that. I mean, yes, Trump is harsh and he's not my number one favorite, but at least he speaks, you know, to the normal everyday person. Maybe it's not the easiest. Maybe it's not the nicest. Maybe there's some, you know, racial tension in there. But it's not the same old vanilla political jargon that every other politician uses. We're going to look at this and we're going to think about America and what's best for America and blah, blah, blah. And this is what we've got. We need to change the outlook and change how Congress looks at things.
Great thoughts like there. Thank you, Craig. We got to run.
Isn't it funny how people who like Trump like him because he speaks his mind and the people who don't like him because he speaks his mind?
Yeah. True.
Can't win, Bill.
I got to leave with a quick Jack Handy thought.
Sure.
This is probably not going to sound funny, but
what?
one of Jack Handy's deep thoughts. If you're walking down the street and you see a dummy falling from the top of a building, catch it because, hey, free dummy.
All right, I'm voting for him.
Sure words have never been spoken.
I hope he's it.
Kristen, thank you very much for being here. It's Kristen McQuarrie. Read her in the Tribune. We'll take a quick break and then news, Bill and Wendy, WGN.